organizations you represent, and that would be very helpful for the council.
Can I do that as we go along, or start off?
It's up to you.
It's up to you. I'll let Jeffrey go ahead and start.
And please pass the mic around, we'll get it off us. Thank you, sorry for the juggle there.
Can I trade with you? I'd like a platform for my notes. I can switch back and walk this back. I'll still introduce myself first. My name is Jeffrey Richardson. I've been working for the past several months with the Quadrant Ordinance Working Group as an individual. I'm not affiliated with any particular group except that. Sure. I want to thank you on behalf of myself and the group for this opportunity to share some perspective. And just ever so briefly about our group. It's an ad hoc group that came together, and it includes young people from Bend Youth Climate Action Now, former municipal energy and water officials, current and former teachers, high school students, climate scientists, and engineer, several small business current and past owners, nonprofit leaders, and representatives from the faith community. One of the things we most want to get across is the importance of taking action now, as opposed to a year or more from now. The scientific evidence is overwhelming. Climate change is real. It's occurring rapidly. It's human-caused, and it poses substantial risks to health and safety. We need to act quickly and prudently to avoid the worst outcomes that have been forecast. We feel a strong responsibility to leave a healthy environment and atmosphere for future generations. Why local action? This question has been raised a number of times in a number of forums. We feel that we are all part of the issue and are bound to be part of the solution. And so this is where we live, and we feel this is where the answers ought to begin for us. We don't feel there's been enough action at higher levels of government. Not enough substantial or timely action. We need to lead and build momentum for action from the ground up, from the local level up. We don't live in isolation. And this is a problem that developed incrementally. It needs to be solved the same way, incrementally. And every increment is important, and that includes the local increment. Local action is an opportunity for us as a community to save money through conservation and efficiency, some of which the speaker from OSU Cascades began to address in his presentation. It's an opportunity to act on the strong connection that we all feel to our local environment, whether it's as business owners or recreators or just people living in the environment. It's a chance to live up to our brand as an environmentally responsible community. It's a chance to grow existing businesses and begin and attract new ones. It's an opportunity to lead and innovate in a way that not only grows our local economy, but makes a lasting contribution to the wider world. And we believe and have generated a fair amount of information about the likelihood of the business sector to grow through expansion of existing businesses as well as the attraction of new businesses. We have in the course of our work, had an opportunity to study the climate work done by a lot of different communities. And we worked hard to make sure that we identified communities that were, that had characteristics of size and other characteristics similar to our own, so that we were comparing apples and apples and not apples and oranges. And what we have found is that those communities that are that have done something on climate, have done something with respect to developing a policy framework or tackling the issue, have adopted a clear direction that's specific to climate change. I'm going to address in a minute a couple of the comments that Jillian made and Eric made about the work the city has done and is doing that is not unrelated to climate change. But what we're finding is that the communities that have started down this path have been most successful when they have made an explicit commitment to climate change policies, when they have attempted to integrate work so that effective climate change outcomes were being achieved. And we've also found that those communities that are doing that are also strong economically. It's been a theme that we've identified repeatedly as we've taken a detailed look at comparable communities. Also, another important aspect to my way of thinking of this local action is you all know better than anybody the importance of your obligation to provide for public safety and well-being. I mean, it's a doctrine deeply embedded in our federal and state constitutions. It's embedded in the charge you have for the actions that you consider at every meeting. And we think that with respect to climate change, it's no less important, it's no less urgent and concerning than police and fire and other public safety measures that you consider as part of your regular responsibility, your ongoing responsibility. We believe that there are a number of key concepts that would make for a successful climate policy framework. It's important to a successful resolution that we adopt specific measurable goals based on the best available science. For city government, we have strongly recommended and urged carbon neutrality by 2030, reduction of fossil fuel use by 40% by 2030, and 70% by 2050. For the community, reduction of fossil fuel use by 40% by 2030 and 70% by 2050. I know you're familiar with our recommendations in this regard. Additional key concepts for a successful climate policy framework would be a framework that creates climate action plans for city government by 2018 and for the community by 2019. It would include hiring adequate city staff to plan, implement, and achieve the goals. It would provide for reporting on progress and make mid-course corrections as needed. And very importantly to us, a robust public engagement in planning, implementation, and reporting, and the inclusion of all sectors, business, government, higher education, religious, and nonprofit. I can't stress this enough. This has been part of our thinking from the beginning. It's absolutely essential to any effective climate change, climate policy framework. It has to have community buy-in, and we have worked hard to provide ideas, concepts that would provide that result, that would provide that opportunity for the community to be involved. The policy framework shouldn't specify how we achieve the goals. What we've been talking about is a process. It's not the result, it's the journey to the result that we're trying to encourage setting up here. It needs to be left for the city and the community to decide through a robust community discussion what is needed and how we'll achieve the goals and what specific strategies make the most sense. We've looked for things that work in communities that are similar. That doesn't take away from the fact that we're a unique community. And this process, once it gets started, needs to take our uniqueness into account, and that's what we're looking for. Again, partnerships with all sectors, business, government, higher education, religious, and nonprofit. This has been talked about a lot. We think that collaborations are important. They may even be essential. And we could address that more if there is time or desire. We feel strongly about the need to establish a goal for the community to reduce fossil fuel use by 40% by 2030 and 70% by 2050.
I think so.
We just don't feel that a policy framework that only takes in city operations is sufficient to what we're looking at as a community. The emissions for City of Bend, strictly City of Bend, are likely less than 5% of total community emissions. And even if that number is, 10% is a pretty small segment. It's not insignificant. And in fact, I had an opportunity to meet with Jillian and Eric some months ago, and I had an opportunity to get a good tour, if you will, of what the city has been doing for the last decade in the area of sustainability, in conservation and efficiency. It's impressive. It's truly impressive. What we are sensing is that the gravity and the magnitude of the climate change issue has just begun to somewhat overtake it. It's not, and that takes us back again to the need for a comprehensive and an integrated specific climate change policy. We need clear timetables for adopting climate action plans for the city as an organization and the community as a whole. We do feel that time is of the essence. I want to make it really clear. We do not want to make haste to bad plans or strategies. But it is urgent to make a solid beginning. And that's what we think we're talking about here. Finally, we think that it's important that the policy framework and the planning process incorporate triple bottom line cost benefit analysis of any proposed or potential alternative climate action plans. I want to wrap up by stressing a couple of things. Reasonable people can disagree on what it means to have a meaningful policy. But I think that it's important in considering this policy framework, to err on the side of being a little more ambitious and being a little bold. The data suggests that we need to do that. And we need a meaningful, solid, strong beginning, not least because getting smart plans and smart strategies is going to take time. So it makes sense to get cracking. And finally, something has struck me all along. I remember vividly the experience of President Kennedy setting a goal to get to the moon in a decade. And he didn't tell anybody how to do it, and he didn't know exactly what it would cost. And I'm pretty sure it cost a little more than what somebody might have thought when we started out. But consensus was developed along the way. But he set the target, and he set the timeline. And I think that is somewhat similar to what we're talking about here. It is ambitious, perhaps, but it's also critical. So with that, others have other things to say.
If I may, on that point, yesterday was the anniversary of the success of that president's goal, which is worth noting.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sarah Woolman. I'm with Citizens Climate Lobby, or CCL, one of the groups represented in the working group. I also work for OSU as a research analyst regarding sagebrush habitat conservation. I hold a degree in climate policy, so I have a little bit of experience in this field. So Citizens Climate Lobby, or CCL, as an organization with over 300 chapters around the world in support of national carbon fee and dividend policy. And although the group's main goal is national policy, it's also important for local chapters to be involved in climate policy at the regional, state, and community levels. It will be far easier to pass and implement relevant climate action policies with all levels of government making progress simultaneously. Then passing a climate resolution is just another step toward broader climate policy. Many other cities in Oregon, across the country, and internationally have also agreed to similar goals and initiatives. Everyone needs to be involved in considering the consequences to their actions to some degree, but this doesn't mean we have to completely change every aspect of our lifestyles. We can easily reach the 2030 goal by becoming more efficient, which to everyone, including individuals and businesses, should equate to monetary benefits. I'm talking simply about wasting fewer resources, things like turning off lights or appliances when they're not in use, maybe taking slightly shorter showers or capturing some of that water for our gardens, creating truly paperless environments, and composting food waste. Regarding efficiency projects and other similar initiatives that may cost more upfront, I like to think about it this way. Since when has innovation and job creation been bad for businesses or the broader economy? Plus, there are many grants and rebates available through private groups and state and federal programs to lower payback periods. Furthermore, this resolution can also address the other issues that the city is already working on, like, in my opinion, and maybe others' opinions, subpar public transportation, and the lack of safe bikeways and walkways. For this resolution to have any clout, a framework with measurable targets needs to be established, and then monitoring should occur over shorter periods with data and records being transparent to the community over the entire process. Among other things, this enables adaptation, which is just another necessary step, since the aim is not to run businesses or people's lives for them. The goals previously established are based on the best available science, other community, state, and national targets, and recommendations from national and international organizations. We do not need an empty statement declaring that we need to do something, but we don't really know what, so let somebody else do it. Since CCL supports a carbon fee and dividend, it would be great to see that as one of the potential initiatives, although far-fetched. But the Bend chapter would certainly support other initiatives meant to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. I also have a 9-month-old son, so now I have a vested interest in mitigation and adapting to future climate change. I would love for him and other future generations to have the same awe-inspiring or availability to see the same awe-inspiring sights and activities that put me on my current path. That being said, I would like to be involved in this process moves forward, specifically on the steering committee or whatever you might call it, of research and planning.
So my name is Derek Staub. I'm a project manager with Trout Unlimited. Just quickly for background, I work on restoration projects, educational programming in the area on the Upper Deschutes Basin. So pretty much from Billy Chinook Reservoir upstream, been doing that work for the last 7 years. In my career, I've been working on fish and wildlife for about 25 years. I definitely have been diving into studies of fish and wildlife and the environment, how it affects some of the other species that we share our habitat with. Just to be able to share an inspiring quote to kind of get us started, I was struck by a quote from a document the organization that I work for created. This document was created in 2007. It's called Healing Troubled Waters. The quote is definitely from a very strong climate change leader. He was a governor in California. You probably recognize his name. He's Governor Schwarzenegger. And Arnold Schwarzenegger made the quote in 2006. Quote, "I say the debate is over. We know the science. We see the threats, and the time for action is now." So obviously in 2006, Schwarzenegger decided that the debate is over. It's time to act. And 10 years later, time for us to act in our community. So feedback that I've created are based on the questions that were presented. So I know the first question that was presented to us is questions and concerns related to the draft policy as it's stated right now. A question that I have personally is when might an ordinance be possible? Just to be able to make sure that we have the proper structure, the accountability, and the process to make sure that we're going to be able to meet results. A concern that I have is that a current state of a resolution I think is a great first step, but I know that I've been working on Tumalo Creek with the council for a number of years. We have passed a couple great resolutions. They have strong language, they have great visions, but they haven't really led to any significant changes or any plans that are going to get us to those significant changes. So in my mind, another resolution, if it really has the teeth and it has the structure to be able to get us into a better direction, then that's going to give me a lot more confidence in where this could go in the city of Bend. But I definitely am hoping that we can have a strongly structured resolution that can lead toward ordinances that can give us the accountability that will achieve the results that we need. So the question number two that was asked is what are the key concepts that we're supposed to emphasize or that we want to emphasize for council? In my mind, the two important concepts that I really believe in, number one, we must have concrete goals for city government, but then also the community, in order to be able to make sure that it's based on the best available science. So we shouldn't exclude the community work and those community goals. Number two, we must have that strong public engagement from a diversity of stakeholders, including experts in the natural resources fields. Watershed ecology and wildlife biology should be represented just to be able to make sure that we truly understand impacts on the environment and other species that we share this place with are represented in some way. So why is this important for other species that are here in our waterways? Climate change creates a lot of negative impacts that start to spiral. And just to be able to share a few of those to give us some context that I feel like is important. Once our waterways warm, better for swimming, but not so good for the things that live in those waterways. As waterways warm, they hold less oxygen. If you have less oxygen, then the critters living in those waterways start to lose their vigor and their health. If you have individual species, whether it's fish or insects, they start to lose their health. Then they also start to suffer from a greater chance of disease and passing on those diseases. Also, with predictions for loss of snowpack and warmer water in the summertime, we're going to have less flow, that's predicted, late summer. And if you have less flow, you basically have less space for those critters to move around. And if you have less space, then you're going to have not only more competition within that space, but just the physical constraints of being able to move around to get to the food sources and try to survive. So you can see that it's not just sort of a warming climate that can potentially not be that big of a deal. It's a set of these triggers that start to spiral. And those negative impacts start to really grow. And if you care about native species that have been around for a long time that have adapted to living in this place, those native species start to lose the competitive edge. And we definitely are seeing that. And so some species that were adapted to live here for a very long time, they're losing out to the habitat with other species. So for instance, with the Deschutes River or Whitecheese Creek, important waterways for us, we're seeing competition with brown trout that are taking over some of the habitat that our native red bands or bull trout used to occupy. And that type of thing will just continue to happen. Many of us don't care what they are, if there are fish there, if the waterways are there and they look pretty, that's a good thing. But if we care deeply about the integrity of our ecosystems and how they work, we should really look at those greater details to make sure that we're taking care of our larger place. So next question that I wanted to address, what is most important to have in this policy in order for you to engage in climate change planning process? In my mind, the point that was really nicely made is the idea that we need to have those clear timetables for adopting climate action plans for the city as an organization and the community as a whole. So in order to be able to make sure that I have confidence in where this is going to go, I definitely feel like those timetables are critical. Give us a sense of where we're going to go, how much time it's going to take, and allow us to have enough structure to be able to have some accountability and what results we can achieve. Final question that was posed, what do you want your role to be? I definitely believe that we should have a nice collaborative process, that public engagement process. I feel like stakeholders involved in that are critical. I'm definitely a believer in having voices such as watershed health, native fish and wildlife as stakeholders, because often some of those voices are rarely heard. I know that climate change is very important for people, but it's also important for a lot of other things that are trying to survive with us. So really increasing that representation, I'd love to be involved as well. I'd love to be a participant. If I can serve as an expert in some way, then I would love to fill that role as well.
All right, hello. My name is Nikki Romer with Oregon League of Conservation Voters. Thank you, Council, for having some feedback on the draft resolution tonight. And maybe somewhat ironically, I want to thank the Bend Economic Development Advisory Board and the Bulletin as well for kind of having a little pushback here to give an opportunity for us to be able to bring some more details to light and kind of engage and educate the community on some of the details of this. So certainly I'll start off with everything that Jeffrey said basically in the beginning that had to do with the Climate Ordinance Working Group. I am behind as well. Oregon League of Conservation Voters was one of the organizations that has been in that working group from the beginning, and so I back everything that Jeffrey had said, but I'll kind of go into a little more detail here as well. I will say as well that OLCB would prefer an ordinance to a resolution for similar reasons that Derek mentioned. Just we feel that it does offer a little more accountability and a stronger commitment to effective climate action. As the discussions have carried on over the last 2 months, we certainly would support a resolution that really will lead to meaningful climate policy. There are a few things that I think need to be added back into the resolution in order for that to be a meaningful climate policy, and I'll cover a few of those here. But first off, concerns with the climate action policy. I'm glad this is really open to this community conversation right now. I had hoped we might have a bigger space for this, honestly, and so I guess I just want to say to the people in the hallway, I hope you can hear us, and sorry you're out there. You know, there used to be TV screens out there, too, and those are gone.
How about that? Where'd they go?
I don't know. That's a good question. But, you know, one concern that I have with the climate policy is that the community piece is not in there anymore. It's in there, but you know, we really based this on, or I would like to see this based on science that has already been agreed upon. And 177 countries across the world have agreed that one way to help the planet from temperature rises of more than 2 degrees is by limiting greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by 2030 and 70% by 2050. And, you know, to me, I will say that a world of climate scientists are a good enough sort of resource for me on that. And so I think we need to start taking action now, and I think we should not recreate the wheel and spend 3 years trying to figure out what those goals should be. But these goals should be in this resolution, and they should be based on science. If the community goal is not in there, you've probably heard this a couple of times tonight, but you know, the city of Bend government of its own, really a small percentage of what our community's emissions are. And I kind of fear that if we don't include that community goal in there and start taking steps towards community greenhouse gas reductions, that, you know, U.S. Senator Merkley just reached out to us saying, we want to support local climate initiatives. Can we get together and talk about how we can help get federal funding to fund these things? I don't know if that would be something that he'd be willing to stick his neck out on if it was just for the city of Bend. But if it was for the community as a whole, then perhaps he'd be willing to really move forward with that at a federal level. We certainly haven't seen a lot of action on the federal level, and I think what we've heard is that we need this groundswell from the ground up. And so that is what we're trying to do here. Key concepts that I definitely want to emphasize here. Communities that have climate action plans have thriving economies. There are, I sent this climate action plan cities kind of document to council, which has what five different cities are doing in terms of their plans in energy, water and building, land use and transportation, consumption and waste, food and agriculture, and urban forests and natural resources are kind of the main areas that most cities are working on. Eugene, Boulder, Colorado, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Corvallis, Oregon all have in 2015 seen job growth, and these are all cities that have plans. So I just think it's important to note that this isn't a job killer. This is actually potentially a job creator. Also, a lot of those cities were ranked in 2016 on livability.com's 100 best places to live. Another kind of aspect of this is that I really want to stress efficiencies. This is really a great opportunity for Bend City Council to adopt a policy that is going to help the community to conserve energy, save them money. A lot of the strategies that we're seeing communities use are energy efficiency retrofits, expanding community-wide education on home and business setups to reduce carbon emissions, creating incentives for installing water-friendly residential landscapes, solar incentives and rebates, home and business energy efficiency incentives. I don't need to kind of go on there, but I do want to mention that, because we're not trying, as Jeffrey noted, to dictate what the plan will be, but I think there's a lot of strategies in here that are ones that the community would be very much on board with. Another key concept I want to emphasize is that really from the inception, the climate policy that we presented to Bend City Council on May 18, 2016 was about letting our community decide what strategies Bend would move forward with. We really wanted to get the ball rolling, and we really wanted this very inclusive community conversation about here are all of the options, and here's what it might cost to do these, which of these do we want to do, and kind of figure that out as we move forward. And that including public engagement from, again, all sectors, business, government, higher education, religious, and nonprofit in that. Another key concept I think I'd want to stress is that the community does want climate action now. 400 Bend residents have signed a petition urging you all to adopt a climate action ordinance. That being said, I think that they would also support a climate action resolution if it was strong and meaningful. 97 businesses to date in Bend have signed a letter that I've sent you saying that they also support meaningful climate policy, and over a dozen organizations. And I think there's maybe 17 on the letter that I sent you earlier today, but I know that there are also more out there that have not actually signed that letter. So again, most important things to have in this policy in order for OLCB to continue to engage would be adding back in that community goal, fossil fuel reduction by 40% by 2030 and 70% by 2050, for the reason I already stated. Timetables for adopting the climate action plans, they're pretty loose in there right now. It's kind of approximately 2 years or approximately 3 years, and for reasons similar to what Derek has mentioned, I think having accountability to yourselves, I think, will help council to move forward and the community to move forward and say, we need to actually, I guess we have to meet again this week. We all have meetings, not really, but. And then kind of an important piece that that needs to be included as well. We've heard a lot about how much is this going to cost? Very valid question. Never intended that that wasn't something that we were going to figure out as we move forward with this process. And so I fully expect that we will know how much things are going to cost and what a cost-benefit analysis might be. We do really strongly urge that that language in the resolution include a triple bottom line cost bottom analysis so that environmental or, economic and or financial, social, and also environmental factors are considered to ensure that those factors are considered in the planning process and how much things cost. Fort Collins is a good example of at least knowing that that's out there. I think, I guess another thing I would like to mention is we really did go with slightly less strong goals for this ordinance so that we could reach this, be successful if we did adopt this plan. And, communities like Fort Collins have had similar goals. They've just upped their goals to 80% reductions by 2030. And, that might cost, when they looked at, presented to their city council of, here is a list of all of the strategies that we might be able to use. It was about $300 million for every possible thing that they could think of that they could possibly do. Doesn't mean they're going to do all of them. They'll cherry pick, as Councilor Chudasky has said before, what do we want to see here, what do we want to do?
They started at that.
But I'd also note that even if it did cost $300 million, it might yield $2 to $6 billion in community savings. And so I think that is a pretty decent payback, honestly, if you were to go that route. And then, last but not least, they do also factor in that when they looked at the costs themselves, that...
Sorry to interrupt, but this is scheduled for a half an hour.
Okay.
And you're past that.
Okay.
We're at 38 minutes now.
I'd like you to wrap it up real soon.
Wrap it up. You got it.
Impacts
to the environment are not factored into the tangible costs, the dollar costs. I was going to talk about how I could be a part of the process moving forward, but I'll talk about that later.
Could we sneak Ms. Grace's comments in quick?
It's like 2 minutes.
Okay.
And are we going to have some time for some questions after this, or do we have time for questions?
We can take time if you want. We're hoping this is mostly a listening session, but questions
that
have a short answer.
We're 10 minutes late essentially right now, and we have 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. So then we're going to have the question of whether or not each group has equal time. If we want to add, so originally maybe we should go back and clarify this. So if we're going to add, so we're 10 minutes over, and then we're going to have questions and answers, and that'll put us at about 50 minutes.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we have both the panels, and then we can ask questions and just call up anybody that we have a question of, given before public comment for 10-15 minutes. Is that all right?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right.
10 or so minutes afterwards.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Because we don't want to keep the people signed up to speak all night.
Well, good evening, City Council. First, I want to just thank you for holding this meeting tonight and considering this policy. I realize it's a really big step for Bend, and it's really promising to see this happen. My name is Skyler Grayson. I'm here as a representative of Youth Climate Action Now, or UCAN. So UCAN has been a part of the Ordinance Working Group for the last year or so. So kind of our stance on what needs to be in the resolution kind of follows what Jeff and Nikki were saying about getting the community goals in there, the timetables, and the triple bottom line analysis. Those are the big things. So I'm going to take this short little time to give you all a reminder of why we're even doing this. I am 16 years old. I don't get to decide who's sitting up there, but you all get to decide my future. And it's just something I want to bring up because I feel like youth is kind of a big part of these considerations. In all of my life, the lives of my children and my grandchildren and all of our descendants in this room depend in part on the decisions that are made here. So my colleagues spoke on some of the specifics of meaningful climate policy. Like I said, that includes the addition of community goals based on the best available science into this resolution. I feel strongly about this as a youth, mostly because what is required right now is meaningful action. We need to take big steps to protect this planet. This isn't an issue that we can take shortcuts on or make excuses about. By only addressing the less than 5% or so emissions that we think are just caused by city operations, we aren't creating as much positive change for the future as we can and should be. I mean, after all, that's what this is about, right? The future. Councilors, all the community leaders and business leaders that are in this room has to remember the future. My future, the future of the other youth that you will be hearing and seeing later tonight, and as well as the thousands of others in this city. As this discussion progresses, please remember what the real priorities are and what's really at stake. This resolution is a big step for Ben. Like I said, it's starting to shape into something that can have meaningful and positive impacts. But I think that we need to create the most meaningful and the most positive impacts that we possibly can. Otherwise, what's the point? Taking only part of the action that you could be taking, while still a step in the right direction, just creates more drawn out and time-consuming process. And when it comes to climate change, time is just one thing we can't afford to waste. So for tonight and the next few weeks, or as long as this discussion progresses, please keep in mind that I, on behalf of Youth Climate Action Now, am asking you to never forget the responsibility and capability that you guys have to create a better future for Bend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember the admonition. Although it would create some extra seats. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Now we have a presentation from people from the business community. We have a presentation also.
Well, good afternoon, counselors. My name is Eric Schultz. I'm a 23-year resident of Bend, a local business owner, and I'm also vice chair of the Bend Economic Development Advisory Board. Tonight, I'm here speaking on behalf of the board. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. BDAB is tasked, as you know, with advising you on matters that come before it that affect local businesses.
Oh, it's right there. I'm sorry.
It's moving.
Perfect.
We first became aware of the creation of the draft ordinance at our meeting on May 17th. And we were all in agreement, everybody in the room was in agreement that climate change is an important issue. What was concerning and of surprise was that the document had been developed to the point that it was without the input of our board. And we certainly did not feel like we had been invited to the table. The board members decided that the best reaction to the draft ordinance, given that the council was going to take it up the next day, was to write a letter expressing our concerns. BDAB was and is specifically concerned with why the ordinance was moving through the process so quickly, and had there been community outreach to gather input, and if so, who had participated in that. In our May 18th letter to the council, we asked that the city take more time for feedback, make the community-wide goals aspirational, and engage the whole community in the discussion before adopting any policy. The BDAB Advocacy Subcommittee took up the topic again on May 23rd. The results were three key recommendations. Number one, rather than a climate action ordinance, the city should pursue a resolution. The thinking being is that if the goal is for a proposal to be aspirational rather than punitive, the resolution would be most appropriate. It seems that this is the current direction, and BDAB appreciates the council taking our feedback into consideration. Number two, identify proposed reduction targets only after a climate inventory has been completed. A climate inventory of both the city of Bend and community emissions would allow for the development of meaningful goals. And number three, form a climate steering committee representative of the community makeup. At the June 17th meeting of the BDAB Advocacy Subcommittee, it was also centered on the topic of climate action. Discussion themes coming out of that meeting included, number one, policies imposed in Bend could lead to regional employment shifts. We have to recognize that Bend is the center of Central Oregon's economy. If it is more difficult to conduct business in Bend, employers may take their business to neighboring cities. Number two, growth implications of an uncertain regulatory environment. Profit-seeking businesses move away from uncertainty and therefore may move away from Bend. And number three, policies should be kept Bend-specific. There should be a baseline of Bend-specific data. Policies should identify costs, list potential partners for collaboration and for funding, and the goals should be set with community-wide input. I want to reiterate, the members of BDAB and those that we represent care deeply for the climate. We were attracted to Bend for the same reason that most everybody was, and that was the opportunity to live close to nature, to be able to take advantage of all that the mountains, the forest, and the desert have to offer without a long commute. Combating climate change is a worthy topic of discussion, for sure. The discussion needs to involve a wide spectrum of community. This is the process that has been so successful in developing solutions for the EGB expansion, the sewer extra strength charges, and the expansion of the sewer system. And while the process takes time, the results are superior and more widely accepted by the community. BDAB encourages the council to slow down, get more input, and task the city staff with continuing its look for and act on energy efficiency initiatives that can be instituted now without delay. We appreciate the opportunity to offer input. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Mayor, members of the council, thanks for a chance to come up and talk a little bit about perspective of what we see in economic development. For record, Roger Lee, Executive Director of Economic Development for Central Oregon, Tri-County Economic Development Organization based here in Bend. So far, I just say I appreciate the work that's been done thus far. And since this, we heard about this at the BDAB meeting, we believe tackling climate change is also an important issue. However, it must be taken in context with other responsibilities and priorities charged to the city of Bend, like water, sewer, roads, police, and fire protection, permitting, and so forth. We would strongly recommend a practical solution that's really solution-oriented. Protect our environments, the solvency and effectiveness of the city of Bend and our economy. As a community, we should not settle for merely symbolic or political wins. We recognize that goals are critical in driving forward progress. But adopting goals for the entire community with specific percentages, et cetera, without establishing a baseline of current conditions, examining potential methods and other ways to achieve those goals, as well as budgetary considerations, is really the cart before the horse. And, you know, I don't think that's how policy has been developed for other major things the city has done, like for sewer, water, BGB expansion, et cetera. And so it's a little bit out of character in that. The city's financial resources are limited, and there are other critical needs. So just it's really a question of priorities and costs. How does this compare with everything else that the city has under its umbrella? And that's expected from the citizenry. To that end, you know, you're adding new FTEs, has been recommended from the proponents of this. You know, I'd weigh that against that's gonna, obviously, if you have a zero-sum game, those FTEs are not going to be doing something up somewhere else within the city of there. And I would just say also, you know, as you look to form an effort around this with the committee and input and so forth, to have balanced representation, Eric touched on this. When I hear words like accountability, teeth, enforcement, this causes me great concern for our small businesses and residents as far as the impacts on them. What does that mean? And so I just encourage some balanced representation that covers across the community. And then finally, rather than waiting for a few years to develop a climate change action plan, we really feel like that's probably unnecessary. There are things that can be done today, and city staff is already working on. There are obviously other organizations that are working on this today, including EDCO. We work with lots of companies in the Central Oregon area, including Ben, on energy efficiency with their energy trust and so forth, try to reduce both their costs and their energy footprint. So, and then lastly, I'd just say it's, you know, if the city is really serious about taking substantive measures to affect climate change, it need not wait for the action, action plan to start making progress. Thank you.
We'll keep it short and very simple. First thing, thank you for your service, councilors and mayor. It's not easy being a councilor in any community, is it? Alone the city of Bend. On that, the Bend Chamber of Commerce, I'm Jamie Christman, the executive vice president. And we're here to just simply state that we have not taken an official position on this issue. However, we do have an amazing and diverse body of membership, many of whom, as you know, are in favor of where this heads, resolution, ordinance, or otherwise, and those who have felt fearful about speaking up about it because it may impact their business. So you can see the gamut runs the spectrum. With that, we are, of course, here just to make sure to ensure process and opportunity and involvement is what we can have. And in that light, we need to hear all the facts. It's certainly a quandary to be in a position where you're trying to decide whether it's a benefit to be risk-oriented and get after it and not know all the fiscal impacts, or whether or not we can get the fiscal impacts on the table in advance. So certainly that's the most important thing, is we're listening to our members, many in the room of whom we're hoping we can hear how their involvement provides savings and economic opportunity to this community and further additional future youth like Ms. Grayson, and at the same time understand that what happens economically in this community is also a great portion of why it is an amazing place to live. So with that, that's all the Bend Chamber has to say today.
Chairs.
You needed a bigger table.
That's right. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Tyler Neese. I'm the Government Affairs Director with the Central Oregon Association of Realtors, and on behalf of our association, our 1,200 members in Bend, we appreciate the opportunity to provide feedback on the climate action resolution. While we commend the city for its initiative and leadership in pursuing climate action, we have significant concerns with the approaches outlined in the proposed resolution. While the resolution provides a general framework for climate action, I will echo some of those who spoke before me in stating that there remains the significant question of cost. What is the cost of this project, and will that cost fit within the city's budget? The current resolution states that the cost-benefit analysis will be considered, and then goes on to outline goals to reduce fossil fuel use by 40% and 70% in 2030 and 2050, respectively. This, as Roger said, is putting the cart before the horse. A cost-benefit analysis should inform the development of goals and not vice versa. Examining the financial impact prior to establishing goals, such as a reduction in fossil fuel use, will ensure the creation of an action plan that is actually feasible within the city's budget. Section 2A of the draft resolution requires city staff to include in its fiscal year 2017-2019 budget funding for climate action activities required under the resolution. Again, this directive appears to lack any examination of the budgetary impact prior to the council vote. The exact price of the resolution, again, is unknown, but it is clear from the proposed resolution that funds would be allocated towards staffing and other activities. The issue with cost, again, must not be understated, especially as the city is already challenged to provide basic core services such as street maintenance. The question we must answer as a community is not should, but how. How can we develop a climate action plan that is both actionable and sustainable? How can Ben develop effective policy that does not come at the detriment of the public? The real estate community has made considerable strides toward energy efficiency and climate action, including bans on wood-burning stoves and incentives for high-efficiency appliances and features. Likewise, city staff are already working to reduce energy use and emissions as part of their daily processes and workflows, as are other businesses and individuals throughout Bend. There are a number of best practices and programs already in place across our community, and many of them can be easily replicated. We urge City Council to start by taking stock of these practices, examining and building on them before reinventing the wheel. Climate action that is truly effective involves community buy-in. Just as this community comprises a variety of citizens and stakeholders, so too should the process of crafting climate action policy. Tonight's meeting has provided the community with an opportunity to provide feedback on the course the city intends to chart on climate action. Now we ask that you carefully consider our concerns and examine your approach in order to pursue climate action that is impactful, yet fiscally responsible and transparent. Thank you.
Mayor Clinton, Bend City Councilors, my name is Caitlin Pay, and I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Central Oregon Builders Association, and I come before you tonight on behalf of our 650 member companies. COBA does not support either the Climate Action Ordinance nor the Climate Action Resolution. However, we are absolutely willing to consider supporting climate action policies that are transparent, inclusive, and fiscally responsible. One of our primary concerns lies in the fact that, as of yet, no work has been done to determine the cost of this type of a program for Bend. Will the resolution specifically note the considerations of cost-benefit analysis? There is, as of yet, no expectation for startup funding, operating expenses, or long-term costs. Where is the research and the findings? Where will this money come from? At this point, I can only presume that if funded through the city, this money would be coming from the general fund. And I certainly hope that this money will not be pulling away from our public safety and infrastructure. That is a critical portion to our city. Our second main concern is that the resolution, as written, establishes the open-ended expectation that the local community will also target fossil fuel reductions. What does this mean? Will the new regulations be created for individuals, businesses, and the community? Will citizens experience financial constraints? Perhaps we should examine our local and regional potential for impact before we latch on to lofty goals. To that end, it's necessary to note that a majority of residential units in Bend were built after 2002, which by nature means that they are widely energy efficient. The majority of our members also strive to uphold these sorts of best business practices. We have members who are certified by organizations such as Earth Advantage, Energy Star, and Energy Trust of Oregon. While not all COBA members are certified by one of these programs, many of them take care to ensure that they support the environment through habitual actions, such as offices implementing paperless systems. We're seeing less and less multiple copies of spec plans floating around for major developments. We're seeing energy efficient lighting, as well as staff just taking care to recycle. Residential homes are being built with great insulation, quality window panes, and high-efficiency furnaces. Also, in the field, a large portion of our building membership strives to keep top-level job sites. This includes common-sense actions, such as recycling and being extraordinarily mindful of the amount of purchased product. This theory alone saves some members over $100,000 a year in waste reduction. COBA would like to have a voice in the creation of this policy. We were not involved in establishing the goals of either the climate ordinance nor the climate resolution. We believe it is important to align our new policies and proposals with existing strategies of the city. In fact, one of the city's goals is to increase the livability of Bend. And just last night, the city council clearly understood the need to create affordable housing in our community. I would certainly hate to see lofty goals and expectations ruin the affordable housing opportunities that we really need to have done here. Businesses with noble causes will tell you that most strategies fail at implementation, and yet those best strategies not implemented are worthless. What we have here is a strategy that cannot be successfully implemented, is therefore flawed and unsuitable for Bend. I need you guys to understand that COBA is very disappointed.
Thank you.
How do you really feel?
But there's possibility. There you go.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we would ask you to wait around after this and see if there are some questions that people would have for you.
Sure.
If you don't mind, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, could I just make a comment while I'm thinking about it? I wanted to say to everyone that Eric and Jillian and Ian have volunteered to help us take notes this evening. And so we're not just listening. We've got professional note takers at work for us, and everything's being recorded as well.
We have, I don't know about professional note takers.
Well.
We are trying to summarize the feedback that we're hearing, and we'll share that with council at the end of the meeting. So that's what we're doing. We're just capturing the views.
Thanks.
I wanted to say that in the next section we have two representatives of outside agencies. There's a third that provided written comment. She told me that I said I would read aloud for. He was very short. If you want to start with that, and then we'll do
I'll start with that. And in the meantime, maybe Judy Watts of COIC and Mark Ellington, the Bend Parks and Recreation District, has come up to the table.
So in communication with Peter Gutowski from Schutz County and copying Tom Anderson and PLAC on the exchange regarding this policy process, they provided As you may know, the county has undertaken a range of measures over the years to increase energy efficiency and reduce its carbon footprint, including a complete change out of facility lighting to LED, experimentation with alternate fuel vehicles on board compressed natural gas, most recently, and landfill gas capture initiatives, to name a few. Those efforts and more will continue. This month, the Board of County Commissioners will adopt Deschutes County's fiscal year 2016-17 budget, developing a formal climate action plan beyond current efforts or participating on an external steering committee were not identified as budgeted work tasks. Nonetheless, please keep Deschutes County in the loop as the City of Bend initiates a climate action work plan. The board can modify their annual budgeted work tasks mid-year if needed. I can continue to be your point of contact. Peter Gutowski, AICP.
Okay, thank you. So, go forward.
We will. Hi, everyone. My name is Mark Ellington. I'm representing the Bend Park and Recreation District this evening. You'll forgive me. I just received our official statement of support for the initiative and policy this afternoon, so forgive me if I have to read this in the record. And excuse my glasses, too. Let's see how this goes. The district is supportive of participating in voluntary shared community action to minimize human impacts on the environment, including climate change. We look forward to working collaboratively with the committee and broader public to develop goals and recommendations tailored specifically to the operational needs of individual jurisdictions and community organizations that ultimately encourage voluntary efforts to reach our collective climate action goals. As an organization responsible for providing stewardship over many properties in and around Bend, we have an action in reducing our consumption of fossil fuels simply beyond simply reducing our operating costs. Therefore, the district is willing to participate on the action Climate Action Steering Committee by participating in the process of developing the action plan, setting goals, study ordinance options, and the rollout of a voluntary community-wide implementation plan. One point here, I may have to interject a personal anecdote to this, but this point, with the severity of the recession and the cost of fuel to the consumer during 2010, we, at this point in time, believe using that year as baseline would not be representative of a normal year's consumption base, because fossil fuel use was significantly decreased in direct proportion with the shrunken workforce. In particular, what we experienced. Bend Park and Recreation District does not have complete data to consider any prior year and does not have district baseline information either. We believe that the baseline needs to be studied further by the steering committee before enacting 2010 or ratifying 2010 as the baseline year. Other than that, that is the position of the Park District.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Lee. I'm the Director of Recreation and Engagement Administrator for Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council. We operate a variety of programs across the region. You are probably most familiar with Cascades East Transit, so we provide transit services. By providing transit, we take cars off the road. We help ensure that we have good air quality across the region. We also are involved in some other programs that have some sustainability impacts as well. We work with local farmers to provide local foods across the region. We also have recently studied biomass to see if it is a viable, renewable energy source. And we have met with Jillian to talk about the climate action policy. COIC does support the city of Bend pursuing a climate action policy because our mission is to support the cities and the counties of Central Oregon. We look forward to collaborating with you guys on what the policy actually will be. We are willing to share some of our data about our candidate ridership, and we are willing to serve on the steering committee as well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And how about that?
So, are there questions for specific presenters? Victor.
I have a question for Jeffrey or Nikki, one of both of you. So, why would the creation of this climate action plan take 2 years?
And you should come up to the
microphone. Yeah, you can come up so we can hear you.
That mic's not working. So people
in the
hall can't hear your
question. Can you hear now? So my question was, why is it expected for the climate action plan to take 2 years?
Do you want to start? Do you want me to respond?
Yeah, I'll just offer a hypothetical response based just on some general experience in community planning through the years. It seems like, you know, once the steering committee is appointed, established, convenes, there's going to be a sorting out time of tasks. It could well be that one of the first things that the steering committee wants to undertake is consideration potentially of a community greenhouse gas inventory. So we may have an unanticipated or an unprogrammed data collection step, for example, that could take some time. I think that it is certainly possible that the process of developing community involvement and outreach and making sure that we are meeting the goal of including stakeholders and neighborhoods and individuals and businesses is not something, as you all know, that can happen necessarily overnight. So there are going to be some concurrent activities going on, it would seem, and some of them may take longer than you would hope. So that would be my thought is why it could take that long.
And I would just add to that that our initial thoughts on when the climate action plans would be created were much shorter timelines. But we wanted to put forward a policy that the council could get on board with, and city staff for that matter as well. And it sounded like more time is what was needed. So we lengthened it to 2 years.
What was your original thought?
I think it was 3 months.
That's short a time period to hire staff. I think we allow a little more time for the staff first to come up to speed.
It is correct. It is that we would hire, it was 3 months for the Climate Action Commission, which may be a steering committee now, hiring of the staff person and the commission. So we're going back a ways now, and this is not what's in the resolution that is before you now. So it's a little confusing, but hiring of the staff person, Climate Action Commission was created, and then you're right. I don't know what we started with, but how long. I think it was 1 year.
I think so.
For both, for the city offend operations and for the community as a whole.
Okay.
And then we lengthened that to 2, but then also added a year for the community.
Great, thanks.
But we can do it in 3 months.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Mayor, my question is for Roger Lee as well as Eric Schultz, and I wonder if they... Thank you, gentlemen. And I noticed in your testimony that you wanted to identify some targets, and that you felt like if there was a baseline established that you'd have more comfort. And I'm suspecting that those comments were prepared primarily before we heard from Mr. Schinderman, and also the efforts that he's done with his students. So I'm hoping, but I want to ask whether that comfort actually exists and whether you're prepared to move forward knowing that we have baseline efforts that have either been completed or underway.
Doug, I think that's a good question. And I'm here on behalf of the whole board, and the whole board isn't here to add input. But certainly that was one of our concerns, and we didn't know about the existence of the inventory when our comments were drafted, for sure. Does that make us feel better about where things stand? I would say, yeah, to a certain extent. I think that it was admittedly the community piece wasn't completed.
Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah, let me just echo and add to that. If the city's contribution is 5%, then the 95% is still in question with regards to what's the baseline. And I think an example of, okay, what's the concern around this? There's an energy challenge, while we all very well, we're, you know, a national energy challenge that the Environmental Center's been engaged with, that I think they've struggled to meet and have some of the progress that some other cities have had because we are a new city, because our energy-efficient housing stock, because of a lot of other things that other cities don't. I mean, they have entirely different housing stock, as an example. I mean, it's a huge point of energy use through the country. So, you know, if you're taking somebody else's numbers, or this is some kind of a, you know, national campaign to have this, 40-70, and it's applied just unilaterally on a community that is substantially different than most places in the U.S., obviously that is a real problem. Mm-hmm.
And just one final question. You two both mentioned some reticence about the timeline as it was unfolded and the product that was unveiled in ordinance form, and requesting for there to be more time for the community to weigh in and for more parties to come to the table. And I'm just curious, based upon what you've witnessed here this evening, if again you are starting to feel more comfortable about the city's pursuit of this and the timeline that is unfolding now before us.
Just answer for yourself.
I'm still curious about, I think someone mentioned that there were 70 businesses that were, who had signed the proposal. And that to me seems like a very small sample of all the businesses in Bend. I think there's 7,000 or something in Bend. And so I'm not convinced that we have a broad spectrum of businesses
that are behind this. Did I answer your question?
Well, yeah, I think so. And if I just may clarify my question a little bit more, I'm intending that this process will continue for a number of months, as much as there may be some here that want this to be wrapped up within 3 months. We all recognize in sort of laughing fashion that that's not going to happen. But there would be a timeline moving forward that might be a work session, for example, later in August, and there might be future hearings within the month thereafter in September. And I'm not going to speak for my colleagues here because we've yet to determine that as a body, but I'm hoping that that type of timeline would help you feel comfortable, would help you come to the table so that the goal of this resolution, in order for it to be meaningful, means that there's as much buy-in as possible from the community. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm asking this question, because I think if people answer it publicly, that then there becomes some attached accountability to that.
I think I just respond to that with some of the comments, again, that I had made. If we go through the same sort of process we did with the UGB, mm-hmm. hopefully not quite as long,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Where you have that kind of public involvement, I'm almost certain that the BDAB would be right behind that mm-hmm. and on board.
Okay, thank you for that statement.
Yeah, I just might add to that, you know, I guess our concerns are both at the city level. The city, obviously, you have control to do it with city operations, what you will, and certainly energy efficiency and reducing carbon footprint is a lot of a goal. We don't, I don't think there's any argument with that. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of the how and
right.
And certainly the what as far as the goals go. You know, there's been progress made already in the city here recently, so how do those same argument, I guess, applies with the 40-70 kind of figures. So, and then what's the cost of that? You know, the city is undercapitalized. I mean, it's kind of a well-known fact that its military is lower than most other cities. Redmond almost has double to the north as far as their military. So how is this all going to sort out other priorities, other expectations from the city for its various departments to deliver on those things, and how does this impact that without additional funding coming from the outside to help support that, which was our understanding, at least as this was kind of rolled out, that was kind of, when we get additional resources, we'll do this. I'm hearing maybe even let's do it now and figure out the resources later.
I have a question. There's been kind of a theme of that this was sort of sprung and not conducted in the open, but indeed it has been drafted in the open with, you know, your organization's participation in the language, actually. And also that, you know, we need to plan more and there needs to be cost-benefit analysis, but this is essentially a planning document, it's not a directive, and the cost-benefit analysis is actually included in the language. So a lot of the concerns that I'm hearing and the questions are the same questions that we have, and what this is really saying is to engage in a planning and an organizational process to make things more efficient for the city and for the community. So efficiency is less expensive almost every time. Mm-hmm. And what this is saying is, let's figure this out. We passed a resolution last night to put an initiative on the ballot. We didn't put the language in there. That's what the resolution says. We're not imposing something on the community. We're asking to go plan this and figure it out and engage the local scientific community, advocacy organizations, business organizations, individuals. I'm just confused that the concerns you're bringing forth are valid, and that's not what we're doing.
Was that a question?
So I guess there's cost-benefit analysis in there. There's community participation in there. There's been openness and on the public record with your participation from the business community. Does that change your statements to the contrary earlier?
Well, I think my written comments were to thank council for, you know, extending the process and you know, kind of really taking BDAB input, and that's where we try to direct our input, not directly to councilors, but through the kind of established channels through BDAB to represent the business community. And your initial fully baked ordinance gave a lot of concern for pretty much everybody on the BDAP that had enforcement sections that had thou shalt, thou will. I mean, those kind of, that kind of language legally is super concerning. And so I think this has been a step away from that. Obviously, that's a lot of concerns just about how, you know, the devil's always in the details. But I think as our written testimony, and hopefully oral testimony, was that, you know, we're supportive of, you know, this effort moving forward. Just, you know, get it right.
Yeah, and I want to thank you guys for your involvement, because as a result of that, we now have language that I think is more acceptable and more likely to be embraced by the community. And in the end, with the goal to make meaningful change and for this resolution ideally to have the most efficacy as possible, we need to have that kind of involvement and buy-in. Even the environmental panel spoke to the necessity of that, certainly your head point there. And I just want to remind everybody that Section 4A for the Climate Action Plans, subsection B says that for the Climate Action Plan, there will be a cost-benefit analysis included for achieving the reduction goals and consideration for part of the implementation. So that's the current language that's been distributed to the community, not only for the climate benefit, but also the environment. So thank you.
Is it fair to say that your hesitancy might lie in the fact that it does say that you shall consider a cost-benefit analysis, but that you will, and it doesn't say you might not get there, it says you will become net zero on greenhouse gas emissions, and you will reduce fossil fuel consumption. So I don't think it's entirely true to say that there's no ask of the community. I don't think it's entirely true to say that, is that your sense that there's a strong, we will get there, and it's not clear what we will balance the cost-benefit analysis against our existing service level. Is that your concern?
Yeah, I think our concern, I mean, legal language, ordinance language, resolution language, it has consequences. And so the will and shall legally is certainly has gravity to it. And I think that's one of our concerns. I don't think there's concern. We have a lot of businesses we work with that are solidly behind, affecting all climate change. Do they want a regulatory body telling them how to do it? I think that's the concern is, what are the kind of devils in the details as far as executing on that will by those, or that shall by those timelines in that manner, again, not knowing exactly where we're starting from.
And we've heard from the proponents of this resolution that they see it as an opportunity to be a job creator and to bring businesses to Bend. But that's specifically what your organization does. So as someone who works very hard to try and attract businesses to Bend and the greater region, would you say that's categorically true that, certainly it doesn't seem that easy to me, and you do it every day for a living, so I was hoping you could inform us as to what the consequences of the community-wide goals, even if only aspirational, but especially before when they were more than aspirational, what would that have done? What effect would that have had on your organization's ability to bring people here and businesses?
Well, I think maybe the short answer is I don't know. I don't know what those financial impacts are. I know we've seen some information come out of Fort Collins, which I know has been mentioned tonight here already. You know, in their anticipation of not hundreds of thousands of dollars, but actually hundreds of millions of dollars to have achieved the goals. I don't know where that comes from. If it's voluntary, I think what I've been amazed about is the ingenuity of individuals and business owners to figure out how to get stuff done, particularly when they're not obligated to do so.
Speaking of businesses and their ingenuity, I've heard from three businesses specifically that were opposed to the ordinance, and it was also climate denying. It was just sort of climate change isn't real. And we've heard from almost 100 businesses, including some fairly large ones and big drivers of the local economy, that are vociferously in favor of this. Do you have any more than three businesses that you can cite that are opposed to this? Or that's a pretty asynchronous number.
Yeah, I would just say that we didn't approach this issue to try to rally folks who were opposed or in favor, but to try to inform the policy decision makers just about creating better policy. So we try not to take an adversarial role with our local governments to say, hey, we're going to come down on the other side of, whatever policy this is. We try to hopefully get a better outcome. And so we actually haven't gone out to our businesses and said, come to this meeting and oppose this, this effort. I will say that, you know, we have companies we're trying to recruit here that, you know, this would be very important to them. And they would applaud the effort. We also have other businesses that would feel like this is a complete sideshow for the city. So there's a mix.
If I may, four of my fellow councilors voted to take over the Newport Avenue Dam and replace it with a different dam and dredge the pond and re-engineer the river as it goes through Mirror Pond and redevelop downtown without even a cost analysis, much less a cost-benefit analysis. I'm one of the new guys. I've only been here 2 years, but no one has ever come before us and said, in 2 years, no one's ever come on any issue, and not that one, that we knew the dredging piece, the bulletin 10 years ago said it might be $18 million. So I'm curious if you can give me an example of, you know, what does that look like? When has the city done it before? You know, why didn't you ask for it, you know, for that particular project? And specifically my concern is, how much money are we going to spend on a cost-benefit analysis when we could just be moving forward, adopting the goals that have been adopted by, you know, worldwide goals, and not spend our time on the details, you know, not following that devil, as it were.
Well, Barb, I think maybe I can answer that.
You're kind of misrepresenting what you said about your, first of all, you know, just for the record, so for clarity, since you put it out there, there was never any intention on any mere part of Mirror Pond to take any money out of the general fund or some part of the city budget for that effort. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons we pulled away from that effort was because we had concerns about the possibility of using stormwater funds for this project, which we decided against. So not a penny was ever taken for this purpose, and millions of dollars.
$100,000 was. $100,000 was taken from the city already in that effort for the visioning process. And so what did you vote for then? Because I was confused. I thought you voted that yes, you and... But I just... Right. So either way, gentlemen, you know, can you help me with that? Can you give me an example of when the city did do a cost-benefit analysis, when that was asked for? You know, what did that look like? How did it inform a decision that was, you know, can you help me with that?
I think you've probably gone through some serious cost modeling for your water system, for your sewer system, and for the cost and the timeline for AGB expansion.
Certainly, I understand that. Thank you. I hope we do.
Should we go on? We're going to go on to the people who signed up.
You know, indeed, we are, sir. Are we going to take a tiny break first?
I have one more question, which is, and let me preface it by saying this, and I think I'd like to hear from the environmental community, but maybe you two gentlemen can sort of help with this, which is when I look at the opportunities ahead of us as a city, as a municipality, as well as a city, as a community, having focused specifically on and watched all the work that we've done in planning for the future of Bend, especially through our urban growth boundary work, and we're going to have a hearing on that next week. I know that as part of putting together all those plans, we had to be very cognizant of statewide goals that we had to meet in terms of meeting or reducing our carbon footprint or greenhouse gas emissions. And I'm trying to figure out how we make absolutely sure that we know where we are. You know, we can set aspirational goals, but I'm just wondering, how do we know that the work that we already have in place isn't necessarily going to get us from here to there? I mean, I know the city of Bend already has many, many projects and many plans in place. One of my biggest concerns in this conversation, I'll be very frank, is that we have a lot of work to do to simply finish the code work for the UGB process, which is going to go miles down the road in terms of addressing some of the concerns that we're talking about today when we're talking about climate change resolution. I'm trying to figure out where we are in the calculating the distance that we have to go, or, and I'm trying to figure out if we even know if we have the pieces in place to get us there and whether or not we need. So, so can we, you know, and so part of this is how do we stay on focus with what we already have underway, and how much do we really need to expand this process, and really do we? And so I guess, I don't know whether or not you gentlemen have had the opportunity to ask yourselves that question or educate yourselves in that area, and also wanted to ask that of Jeffrey and Nikki as well.
Yeah, I'm not a subject matter expert in that field, and remember, we learned about this on May 17th, and we do this part-time like and voluntarily like you do, so we have not had the time to look into answering your question.
Thank you. Okay. So maybe we could have Nikki and Jeffrey
step
up here for a moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenna.
Maybe you could clarify your question, because it sounds like it's more of a question for us than it is for
people. Well, it is, but I guess this group worked really hard on putting together for an ordinance, and then it was revised as a resolution. I really want to know sort of what kind of groundwork you did in calculating the benefits of the work that the city already has underway, and whether or not you had ever come to an understanding that that work might actually get us as a community for closer to those goals. So I'm trying to, so part of it is, I mean, at some point, we already are on the path to making a significant investment for our community through the work that we're doing, much of it which I'm sure the community isn't aware of or doesn't know about, simply because we're still in the work stages. I see you're getting a little.
I'm just trying to figure plenty earlier, and I got cut off, so I'm not going to be very long here. If I think the city absolutely needs to continue doing whatever it has planned to help reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and if that gets us there, then that's wonderful. And I don't know why we're here then. I don't know why we wouldn't just adopt this and say, and forth we go, because we know we can do it. I mean, I think we're here because we're not, we think it might be a little hard. We think the city might have to do some extra things. So, I mean, I think we already spoke to the impact that the city of Bend government has on reducing carbon emissions. And I mean, I think we already spoke to that from my perspective.
Nikki, would you say that one way to know whether you had got there or not would be to measure it and do some baseline work? And another way to know if our efforts are bearing fruit would be to devote some staff time to actually working on the topic, which is exactly what we're asking?
Absolutely.
Does that answer your question?
Well, I mean, I guess in the resolution and the ordinance, it's asking for additional staff people. It's asking for a significant investment throughout our community, not just from the city. And so I guess I'm trying to, you know, again, with everything that I know about what the city is doing, I want our efforts to be effective and pointed.
Sure.
And I guess personally, I don't want us to be pulling away from what we're already doing that we know will benefit this entire community, and also helps us meet other state laws, rulemaking that are already in place.
So I'll give one, I think, semi-concrete example for why I think this is a great policy for the city council to adopt. And that is, not too long ago, we haven't adopted this policy. We don't have this overarching policy framework to kind of guide city council decisions, if you will, in everything that happens. So y'all did have to decide on where to cut a position. And you mentioned, Councilor Russell, that you cut the fleet manager position that would have reduced carbon emissions. Had you had a policy framework in place like this, you may have said, let's not cut that one, let's maybe blend these two positions together to address some, you know, things that also need to be addressed. But I think that's one thing that is missing here, is that guiding light, if you will, to help council to be able to make the right decisions to help you continue down that path of reducing carbon emissions.
If I may, Nikki, the word that was used earlier, and I believe Jeffrey used it, was an explicit climate policy.
I understand the question, I think, and and there are a couple of different responses that come to mind. The first one might sound a little corny, but you know, in fact, the idea of, oh, I know what that is.
They have an answer to your question.
One of the thoughts I've had about this framework that we're talking about is to create a framework that actually takes the detailed workload of examining possible strategies for addressing climate change off of your plate and put it over here on a track concurrent with the other things that you're doing, a track that includes the community involvement, that includes data collection that's necessary, that includes the identification of multiple strategies with analysis of their cost and benefits economically, socially, and environmentally, and then comes back to you, and mind you, that's already had the robust public involvement. Then it comes back to you, and you can take the break necessary to take a look at the product of that process. And then there's another public process in which you open it up to the community again, saying this is what we've got, and what does everybody think? So the idea is that for a period of time, while this steering committee is working on the details of climate policy, it's not coming back to you on a weekly or a twice monthly basis or whatever it might be. It's not coming back piecemeal. It's coming back in an integrated, comprehensive, all-encompassing, and I don't mean all-controlling, I mean thematically encompassing format that allows you then to walk through it stepwise and deliberate as you do. The other thing that's concerning, I take your point. You know, the city's already doing things, and maybe what the city's already doing gets us more benefit, more progress towards the bigger goal than we currently think. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I can't. I just don't know.
And that's part of it. Yes.
That's part of it. But I think we know enough to know that if what the city is currently doing gets us there, it may not get us there soon enough. And this brings us back to the urgency question. And, you know, there may be different ways to frame and talk about the urgency, but this is why we felt that it needed to have the structure of a goal to aim for and a process to work towards it. And, you know, if in the process of implementing plans we found that we were falling short, you know, then council says, well, we need to make an adjustment. I mean, that's one reason that they're back to being aspirational, is so that it's easier to make an adjustment in terms of the work that you're doing.
And Mr. Richardson, you said just a second ago that there was a goal, mm-hmm. and in the current draft, the community ask is aspirational, and it is a goal.
Right.
But specifically to the city's efforts, it's not a goal in any way, shape, or form. It's a directive,
right,
to a certain point.
Right.
And so I think what, maybe to ask what Sally said in a different way, just last night we had a council meeting, and we heard from the police chief that he's short on staff and can't get staff because your guys can't afford to live here.
Right.
And then we got dressed down by the disability community, advocacy committee, accessibility community, for making not nearly enough progress in that effort, and that's not to even mention the roads. And so I guess the question is, for those of us who are actually responsible for the budget,
yes.
I think maybe what I heard Sally saying, or what I wanted to ask you was, I can tell you we can't meet every expectation. So how do we rank it, and what service levels would you be willing to see go to meet this directive?
Well, Counselor,
I have a backup question. It might be easier.
I think we're getting into deliberation.
I'd like
to hear from the
public. We are straying too far away from the purpose of tonight's meeting, and we are slipping into speechifying.
Let's hear from the
public. We have a lot of people who want to talk, and I think we should go forward with that. We're already way behind.
Well, we can continue.
I'd be happy to continue the conversation.
I think the one other question that I'm going to just ask is whether or not you'd be willing to serve as the conveners. of this community-wide conversation with all the bodies and all the individuals who are in this room.
I stated earlier, so I would repeat, that cities that have climate action plans and that have been successful at them have the city as the convener of those. So I do think that you are the leaders of our community. We elected you to be our leaders. And I would think that the city should be the convener and the community should come together and be a part of it. And I'm very interested to hear what the lots and lots of people out in the lobby have to say.
I'm too.
So we'll go ahead and do that. Thank you once again for coming and speaking. So we're going to go ahead with the...
5 minutes? 5 minutes. 5 minutes.